Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter and a broker here at StoneX. We work in the futures and options markets. We do swaps and structured products for our hedging and for producing and end user clients. We also offer consulting services. If you have any questions about what we do here, me and my team, in the ag, energy, or livestock space, please let me know. My number is 312-706-7610. You can also email me at craig.turner@stonex.com. If you're a client, you should have my cell phone. You can text me anytime. If you like the podcast, please go over to iTunes and give us a positive review. It's how people find us. And if you want to check out the newsletter, you can go to turnerstake.com. All right, so let's get into it here. I'm actually in the office downtown Chicago, sitting at the desk. Which is rare. I'm usually doing this either my home office or maybe in a conference room here, but due to some technical difficulties, we're going to do this live right from the trading desk. Listen, the Federal Reserve yesterday, they increased interest rates by 75 basis points. Traders were kind of hoping for a little bit of a taper or some kind of pivot or at least signal some kind of pivot that we may only increase rates by 25 or 50 basis points in the future. Maybe the Federal Reserve would add in some language where if the economy really got bad, they would lower rates. But Chairman Powell, after the meeting, basically said it's too early to talk about those kind of things and you're going to stay on course. So what does that mean? You know, we're going to have a federal funds overnight rate between 3.75 and 4%. They may even raise again in December. Wouldn't be surprised if it was 50 basis points. And then we'll see what happens in 2023. But it does sound like the Fed wants to have interest rates somewhere in the mid to high 4% range. Some analysts out there think it could be even 5%. You know, before before 2014, I have to go check on the interest rate charts, but I do remember interest rates being 5% kind of the norm. If it wasn't, 10 or 15 years ago, it's not the, 15 and 20% you hear about, in the mid 80s, but, a 5% interest rate from the Fed funds, 4 to 5%, used to be fairly average before the subprime crisis. So we'll see if that's where they want to get and what the market's really going to start paying attention to or has been, and will continue to be keen on is, as interest rates go up, does it put any kind of dent into the inflation? And so far it hasn't. And not only have we seen the United States now, raise 75 basis points yesterday, Bank of England today, this morning, raised theirs 75 basis points. I think they're at about 3% now. That is the biggest interest rate hike at a single meeting from the Bank of England in 33 years. So it does sound like that. We've seen Canada kind of pivoted a little bit. They went 50 basis points last week instead of 75. US went 75. Bank of England went 75. Central banks are still aggressive here. And that is a tailwind. That is a tailwind, a bearish tail, basically bearish for commodities going forward into 2023. Now, there's one thing I'll touch on real quick. Between now and the next time we talk, we'll have an election in the United States. We'll see how that goes. Some policies can change just, depending on midterms or presidential years. Be interesting to see the outcome of that and what may change just in terms of energy policy. We've been talking about that for a while now. But, there's a lot of news lately about diesel and crude oil and energy prices in Europe. One thing that does seem like there needs to be some kind of, all encompassing, all options on the table way to increase energy, especially in Europe, And also here in North America too. I was listening to the news last night, and you know, one of the main, it wasn't a financial news station. It was a cable news station. They were talking about, you know, 25 days of diesel left in the United States, which is a little misleading. Like, you know, we do produce diesel every day at refineries, and then we use diesel every day. So we may be at a 25-day, you know, stock use right now, but it doesn't mean like tomorrow will be at 24 and the day after will be at 23. I mean, we are producing diesel every day. The thing is, we're just not producing as much as we need, and demand is high. So every day that number, you know, gets a little bit worse. And then it's the job of the market to increase prices so the day's use based on the production capacity doesn't continue to dip below. So I think that means higher, you know, higher diesel prices. We could also, you know, capacity is not, refining capacity is not great for RBOB either. So we could see a situation here where diesel and heating oil outpace crude in the cold months and RBOB outpaces crude in the summer and the driving months. And that could be a trend going forward until, you know, something is done. No need to spend a lot of time on that now. We'll see what happens next week, and you know, if some of those some of those policies kind of change. But I think what the market wants is kind of throw the kitchen sink at the energy issues, and we'll see if that is that is what happens. Okay, moving on over to the grain and oil seed side. StoneX yesterday came out with their corn and soybean projections. They increased soybean yields from about 173 and change to 174.5. So that's a little bit of an uptick, which is counter to what the USDA has been doing. It's been lowering. So we have a WASDE report on Wednesday at 11 a.m. Central Time. That's six trading days from today. It'll be interesting to see if the USDA, you know, lowers yields, or do they follow suit with StoneX and hold them, or maybe even increase them. What was interesting too is StoneX inched down their soybean yield. I want to say it was 51.3. Now it's about 50.9. So, you know, we're talking small changes here, you know, less than half a bushel in soybeans and less than a bushel in corn, I believe. But it just kind of gives you a sense of no one's writing down this crop in a big way going forward. And the November WASDE tends to be quiet, not a lot of changes in there. I mean, really the mix, major USDA report tends to be the one in January. And really the catalysts now going forward in the grain and oil seed markets are likely South American weather for corn and soybeans. We'll see how that winter wheat finishes up in South America, but the Argentina wheat does not sound like it's in good condition. It had drought, you know, La Nina is still an issue down in South America. And while there is a lot of thought in the weather services that will be ending in the next couple of months, and there will be better rains down in South America, that is not going to help this winter wheat crop. The Australia also had some crop issues too in the eastern part of Australia with excessive rain. I mean, some parts of Eastern Australia was getting 10 inches of rain, you know, in some pretty critical times, and it's going to hurt the quality of some of that wheat. There's also a big concern that a lot of the Argentina wheat will eventually become feed wheat. So these are things we need to keep in mind here. You know, on the U.S. side, it'll be interesting to see U.S. wheat acres. You know, the hardened winter wheat, the initial wheat ratings for U.S. wheat came out on Monday from the USDA. I want to say we were 28 good to excellent. The wheat in the western United States looks bad. Texas was 4% good to excellent, but there's definitely a drought there and moisture is needed. I'm going to say the five-year average is around 50% good to excellent. So, and I think that initial rating of 28% good to excellent is the lowest since they've been keeping these reports. So that's not great for the wheat market. You can make the case that it's wheat that needs the acres and the best production, you know, for prices to come down. And, you know, I think we're going to finish up the podcast with that. And, you know, I run models for new crop, you know, based on ending stocks, right? And I'll take a look at what do we think we'll have for acres next year? You know, what's a you're not going to be off by a ton, but let's just say corn's at 92 million acres, which wouldn't be shocking to anyone. You know, and then we have like soybeans at 89, and we actually have wheat going up a couple more million acres just because of pricing. Maybe see some more double crop or just, you know, wheat to where it can go to. And then what we'll take a look at is, you know, what do those stock to usage figures look like? And where do we fall, like in kind of the price ranges? I published something last week in corn. And, you know, on the corn, see, on the corn side, you know, we had, you know, with 92 million acres and a trend line yield, you know, and $7 corn does bring down demand a little bit. So we lose a little bit of demand there. China's going to Brazil. You add in all these factors. And if you just can get a regular crop, you know, we go back to stock to usage levels of 11, 12%. Ending stocks get over 1.5, maybe even close to 1.6, 1.7 again. It suggests corn this time next year could be around $5. You know, again, you have a drought, and I'm not, you know, you can make the case we could have a drought in the United States, the way things are looking in the western part of the Midwest. You know, the drought from 2012 started in 2011. I understand those arguments, but just saying if, you know, La Nina does change, and we go neutral or even to El Nino, that's going to be positive for crop development. And we don't know how that weather pattern is going to be. But if we just take a look at the acres and the yields, average acres, average yields, by 2024, so 2 years from now, that's when we get to a 15% stock to usage, which would be a 2 billion carryout or higher. And on the linear regression and counting for inflation, corn's back to $4. Do we see corn going back down to like 325 or 335? Seriously doubt it, especially with the way inflation is. But it does suggest 2 years from now, that's how long it takes. Now, the reason why I go through these exercises, you know, people say, hey, high input costs, I need to hedge prices. When should I start doing that? You know, do we have upside? And the chart suggests we do have tight stocks for at least another year, which means the weather rallies should be impactful. And meaningful for farmers. If you are a producer, if you are a consumer, you know, you're probably still buying. You know, our recommendation is still to buy kind of hand to mouth or have coverage for the next couple of months. Wait for prices to leak lower. Maybe have some calls in case, you know, you get some real weather issues. On the farmer side, you're kind of doing the opposite. You're going out and you're probably getting a little bit more aggressive and selling farther out if you can, and maybe just have some re-ownership calls to sell into. On the rallies here, but that's the way things are looking. I know the Black Sea is a big wild card. It certainly isn't always weather, but if you get just average sized acres and you also have trend line yields, it does suggest prices are about a dollar lower this time next year, and maybe even $2 lower in 2 years. That's the way the corn market's looking. When I take a look at soybeans, it's the same deal. 2023. We're only at a 7% stock to usage. Still suggests $12 in soybeans. You know, 2023 stocks won't be as tight as 2022 stocks, it looks like. We will, but a lot of that depends on South American harvest and production. But South America is going to have record acres, and Brazil's looking pretty good. So just something to keep in mind. Like, I'm sure we'll get spikes along the way. It definitely happens, but this time next year, based on 89 million acres and a trend line yield, we could be a couple of dollars lower. So something for farmers to know. If you're on the end user side, if you're buying beans for crush or it's biodiesel or whatever it may be, or any involvement in oil seeds, you know, it takes until 2024 with some pretty high acreage numbers, like 89, 90 million and some good South American production, just in our projections to get to $10. So, you know, so here we are with corn and soybeans where we're seeing them in, you know, the sixes and the fives and not get into the fours, at least until 2 years. And with soybeans, we see beans in the teens and not really getting into 12s and even to, you know, maybe next year in 10, you know, 2 years. So it just gives you an idea, you know, we will be elevated for a while. And, you know, that has to do with just tight stocks around the world, the Black Sea issues, and the production issues that we've had. What's really interesting though is when you go through these things and you take a look at wheat. When I look at, you know, wheat used to just be a dog. It was, you know, no one really wanted to plant it. It was kind of like it was a cover crop, or the only thing they could do, or the inputs were so low, they would just put it out there. a little bit of an afterthought for a while. But when we take a look at U.S. wheat stocks for 2023, we're at a 30% stock to usage. The higher protein wheat is actually, then those ending stocks are coming down and getting tighter too. And we have 2023 prices and ending stocks about the same as 2022. So wheat should remain elevated. In terms of a tightness, wheat is a better performer price-wise to the upside than corn and soybeans for 23 based on stock to usage and where we think we'll be in terms of production. It doesn't take until 2024, we're at about 35% stock to usage for all wheat, and we're still in the 7 and 8. So that's going to be supported for all grains. The whole point of this is there's only so many acres to go around. We are tight all around, and without, you know, a return to normalcy in the Black Sea, and also banking on some, you know, planting all the acres that are available and having a trend line yield or better, just hard to see prices to come down here. So whole point is we're going to be heading now into this new marketing year. Harvest is pretty much done, and we're going to be start talking about selling going forward, doing re-ownership, maybe buying some courage calls for the summer. And a lot of this is going to be based on where we see stocks in 23 and 24. And, you know, corn and soybeans, corn probably has the most downside potential, then soybeans, and then wheat. Regardless, though, it does still suggest big trading ranges and volatile markets for a season, probably two. And there's going to be a lot of opportunity there, but we're going to have to manage it. So if you want to start getting your 23 marketing plan together, let me know. We can start doing that. We're even going to start looking at 24 because prices could be substantially different 2 years from now. And the futures market give us a way to hedge a little bit of that too. So feel free to reach out anytime. My number is 312-706-7610. Email is craig.turner@stonex.com. I appreciate everyone listening to the podcast. If you have any questions for me or want to get access to the newsletter, or you know, if you're a client here, we want to start working on some of these things for next year's crop with your marketing, let me know on our end user side, food and beverage side. Again, you know, we'll probably start looking into some of these OTC accumulators farther down, probably in the next 3 to 6 weeks or 3 to 6 months. Keep things, you know, more in the short term, just because the long-term outlook does look like lower prices. So again, happy to talk to anyone about that anytime. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. And talk to you next week after the WASDE.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.